Coming up on 8:22, we're joined in the studio now by Dr. Kathy O'Connor. She's a breast surgeon and the SIH Breast Center Medical Director. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning.
We had talked about it before we went on the air, but you're from the Northeast and then I believe went to school in the Southeast. How do you come to Southern Illinois?
So, yes, I went to college and medical school in Tampa, Florida. So, shout out to all my folks who still are there, and hopefully everybody's safe. The folks I've heard from are in good shape. And then practiced in New England for most of my career. Went to Las Vegas to help set up a program back in 2019 and have come here to keep this great program going.
And we're glad you're here. You know, I'm talking about this interview last night with my girlfriend because trying to get some more tips because I'm a guy and, well, breast cancer usually isn't in my wheelhouse. And I asked her if she had any questions, and she is in her early 20s. And the first one out of her mouth was, well, what exactly does a lump feel like? I mean, the basic stuff that's, well, let's just start there with the basic stuff. I mean, when you're checking for a breast cancer lump, I mean, what would the person doing the self-check at home feel for?
Right. Well, we surgeons like to compare everything to food.
Okay.
And so the big thing is knowing what your breasts feel like naturally. So for most women in their 20s, the breasts are kind of rubbery in texture, sometimes grainy, like a bag of oatmeal or a bag of quinoa, something like that.
Okay.
And it changes from month to month because of the natural cycle. And so you're looking for something that feels different. It could feel like a little piece of corn on the cob. It could feel like an olive. You don't want to wait until something's the half the size of a lime. Again, food reference. But that firmness, that difference in texture, or it just feels different. That's why it's good that you've got two, because you can compare one to the other. So if you got something on one side, you check the same area on the other side, and it's not there, that's a change, and that needs to be looked at.
About what size are they first detectable? You mentioned like a kernel of corn. Is that average?
It depends on where it's located. So if it's right underneath the skin in the front part of the breast, you're going to feel it when it's smaller. But if it's something coming from the way back of the breast, it's got to get pretty big to be able to feel it all the way up in front.
Now, over the years, the survivability of breast cancer has increased dramatically. I believe if you find it early, as high as 99% for your 5-year survivability. Going through your training and your practice, I mean, what has that meant to the patients? It's not the quote, death sentence that it used to be at all.
Exactly. It is totally night and day.
Really?
Treatments have changed dramatically in the almost 30 years I've been in practice, but especially in the last 5 years with some of the chemotherapy that's now been developed, immunotherapy for the most common causes of cancer and then the more advanced type. So even if it's spread to your lymph nodes, again, it's not a death sentence. And then for women who unfortunately do have it spread to other parts of their body, we have medications that keep you going for years. So there's no, oh my God, there's nothing I can do. There's always something we can do. Come and see people. Talk to your primary care doctor. Talk to your OBGYN. Make somebody aware so that if it is cancer, we can intervene sooner and with better outcomes.
Are people still afraid of the treatments? They think you're going to lop one completely
off,
but that's not the case most of the time anymore.
And people are still thinking, because again, it's frame of reference.
Right.
You think what your family told you, what your friends told you, what they knew from their grandmothers in the 60s and 70s, where it was not unusual somebody would go in to have a, quote, biopsy and end up coming out of the operating room with no breast.
Ooh.
We do not do that anymore. The way that we do things now, most women know before they even have surgery that they have cancer, what kind it is, what state it is. We sit down, we come up with a plan, and we don't go away from that. I don't take somebody to the OR for a lumpectomy, taking out the lump, and they wake up with no breast. That just does not happen anymore.
A lot more communication between doctor and patient than there used to be, I think.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's called shared decision making.
Yeah.
Where, hey, these are your options. This is what we recommend. Let's have a conversation and come up with the plan that works for you.
Now, we talked about lumps before being one of the most common signs of breast cancer, but there are other signs, including topical. Your skin could have a rash or something along those lines.
Exactly. You can have a rash. You can have a change in the nipple where the nipple flattens out, or it looks like you've got a bug bite that just doesn't go away when you're mm-hmm. doing the usual local stuff. It can look like your skin is being pulled in, like there's something from below pulling it down. It can be a change in the texture of your skin. There's one little area, that, I don't know, maybe the size of a quarter even, where it just looks like it's getting swollen, but the rest of your skin looks totally fine. So it's not just what's deep in the breast. It can be very superficial.
We're talking with Dr. Kathy O'Connor, a breast surgeon and the SIH Breast Center Medical Director. Now, you've probably heard this before, a woman doctor.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, especially a surgeon, which mm-hmm. is not as common. It is more common than it used to be, but not initially common, especially when you started out. So why did you get into this field of medicine?
Well, I'd never intended to do surgery.
Really?
I was always on track to do family practice. And then in the third year of medical school, you go out and you do rotations in different specialties. And my group decided we'd do surgery first to get it out of the way because the rumors were that the surgeons we had to work with were... shall we say, not pleasant.
Yeah.
And I had a blast. I had so much fun. And then my next rotation was internal medicine. I was bored out of my ever-loving mind.
After the thrill of surgery.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And being able to cure things. You come in with appendicitis, you take your appendix out, you're cured. But when I went into practice, it's 5 years of residency after 4 years of medical school. At least half my practice was women with breast issues, uh-huh. not just breast cancer. And I was in a group of five, and I was the only woman. And so being the only woman, I got most of the breast stuff. And then as things evolved, it got more and more specialized because we got different techniques, different ways of treating. And not everybody in the surgical community was willing to keep up with those changes. But those of us did gradually specialize down. And I've been exclusively breast for almost 6 years now.
Great. Well, I'm talking with Dr. Kathy O'Connor. When I'm looking this up for the prep, one thing that keeps popping up was triple negative breast cancer. And they say the survivability rate's not quite as high for that. What is that exactly when they say triple negative?
Right. So that means there's three components in what we do in looking at the tumor when we do testing. So the first thing we look at is something called estrogen receptor. Does the tumor cell respond to the female hormone estrogen? Positive or negative, and we get any variety of 1% to 99% of those cells on the slide. Same thing with progesterone. That's the other female hormone. And then the last thing is called HER2, and it's a protein that can sit on the tumor cell itself. So think of it as a balloon with a glob of mud on it. Either got a little bit, a medium amount, or it looks like a giant blob and with a little hairball sticking out. So if it's got nothing or very little, that's negative. So if all three of those are negative, that means it's triple negative. It's a tendency to be more aggressive, come back earlier, come back in other parts of the body sooner. But the great thing is in the last 2 years, we've had something called immunotherapy that has made it night and day. So depending on the size of the tumor, if we can catch it small, we do surgery first. But if it's small and spread to the lymph nodes or it's bigger, then we do chemotherapy first. And anywhere between 50 and 60% of the time when I do surgery, the tumor's gone.
Great.
It has been a game changer for women.
We talked about the survivability of breast cancer when it's caught early. When it's a bit more spread in the body, the survivability rates decrease. But the quality of life living with a cancer is much better than it used to be. We've done an interview in the past with, I think, the head of the Siteman Cancer Institute, and he was very optimistic about cancer being kind of a chronic condition to where something you can manage with medication over your lifetime. Is that something we're seeing with breast cancer as well?
Exactly. And breast cancer was one of the first cancers that could be treated that way.
Yeah.
So the most common thing is bone spread. So if somebody has it in their bones, depends on where, how many, what kind of symptoms people are having. But literally, it is a pill that you take. And I've had patients now 15 years living with their cancer, stable on medication.
And a good quality of life.
Good quality of life. Absolutely.
8:30, we're talking to Dr. Kathy O'Connor, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. A few days back, a few weeks back, the president comes out with this cancer moonshot. What's in that interest to you in the field of breast cancer? What is achievable in, say, the next 10, 15 years?
Sky's the limit.
Really?
Sky's the limit. There are so many new technologies that are coming out or are being expanded to other parts of the body. So we talked about that HER2.
Yeah.
Well, now we know there's other tumors that also have that HER2 change. Stomach cancer. So the the research that was done on breast cancer for HER2-positive cancers is now expanded to include stomach cancers, and we can use the same chemotherapy drugs with amazing outcomes. So again, things that are happening, other kinds of cancers, we're looking to see if it'll translate to other sites. So lung cancer, stomach cancer, breast cancer, bone cancers. It's just the exponential change in knowledge and treatment options. It's just amazing. And so with the moonshot, that funding, that concentration, that's exciting stuff.
Are we better about sharing information between departments, between units of research than we used to be? You know, you said something for breast cancer is now used for stomach cancer. In the past, was that as shared as it is these days?
It is, because what happens is we have these large meetings all over the country over the course of the year. So like the San Antonio Breast Conference, yes, that is focused on breast cancer, and it's mostly the medical oncology, the chemotherapy, the we like to call it the rat research people. what they have and they present, that gets published. And other oncologists in the country look at it, researchers look at it. And so everybody's looking to see, hey, how can I apply that technology or that particular technique to what I'm doing? And that's both on the bench, what we call the basic research stuff, as well as looking for different ways in treatment.
There you go. How is COVID? Are you still dealing with COVID between people maybe not trusting their doctor as much as they used to putting off that regular checkup and then finding something wrong farther along? It's COVID still a deal?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Where we have not yet seen that people have come back to the same level of screening for different things as we had before COVID. And so we really, 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 really encourage women, hey, come out, get your screening. It doesn't matter if you had it done 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Please restart with the screening, because we are seeing, and this is a national trend that everybody is seeing, and at our most recent breast surgeons meeting in April, the data is coming out. Women are being seen at a later stage. So what might have been a stage one is now a stage two, because it wasn't something they could feel, and it only showed up on the mammogram. It only showed up on an MRI.
What I hear a lot from people who have been to the doctor recently and have had maybe a biopsy for a cancer diagnosis is that, well, they told me I had cancer or might have cancer, then they told me to wait a month for the results. I mean, that's got to be frustrating to wait that long to get the results. But maybe to provide some assurance, how long is too long, and how long is okay to wait to get more information?
Yeah, it all depends on what cancer you're talking about.
Okay.
And so I would say probably 6 months ago, the real problem was just supply chain. Literally, the different chemicals and reagents that they needed to look at the slides and turn things colors or look for different proteins, there was a national shortage. And it didn't matter if you were MD Anderson or Siteman or us, you could not get a sufficient amount of those chemicals.
Yeah.
And so everybody's was delayed across the country, across the world. Sometimes it takes a little longer because the specialized testing that we're doing can take longer to have the results come back. Just it's a physical thing. And then sometimes it needs a second opinion. You know,
right.
If you have something that looks unusual or the pathologist is like, eh, two of us have looked at it, and most breast cancers are, it just, there's something weird going on. We want it confirmed. I've had those slides sent to a specialist in the Cleveland Clinic, and then they have a whole group depending on what they do for studies. It takes time. It does.
You want to get it right.
Exactly.
More than
you don't want to have a misinformation. You don't want to have, oh, it was this, but, oh, gee, it's actually this. And come up with a treatment plan that's not appropriate.
We talked a lot about women, but what about men? Not as common in men, but when should they go? Is it feeling the lump in their breast? Is that
exactly.
usually the first sign?
Yeah, we don't do mammograms in guys.
Yeah.
Even ones that are high risk who may have a genetic mutation. So you hear about BRCA1 and 2, the breast cancer genes. Well, men get that too. And they're actually at higher risk compared to other men for breast cancer, but it still doesn't reach the average woman without a genetic mutation. Mm-hmm. So we don't do mammograms for them. But hey, those guys are at higher risk for prostate cancer, need to start screening in their 30s. So men don't need mammograms, but they need to be aware of what their breasts feel like and any changes over time. And so if something pops up.
And not to be embarrassed. if they do find something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Get it looked at. It's not like you're going to go to your doctor's office and they're going to open the door. Hey, everybody, come on in. Look at this guy's got breast something. No. Get it looked at so it can get worked up and we can go from there.
There you go. Dr. Kathy O'Connor, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Any final thoughts? Anything I've left out?
Get your screening.
There you go. Get your screening. Doctor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.